For the benefit of the folks who are here for the first time this week, would anyone like to give a brief overview of what we did on days 1, 2, 3, and 4? And we don't have to go in order, but just a brief sense of some of the things that we've covered in each of these mornings. And I can give you hints because I remember. Yes, Barbara.
We've been looking at the situation of immigrants from multiple directions, mm-hmm. and by looking at contemporary texts and biblical texts.
Yes.
So each day we have paired a contemporary situation through text with a biblical situation. Mm-hmm. And we've covered things like the refugee status of Mary and Joseph and Jesus when they went to Bethlehem and then fled to Egypt. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Ruth and Naomi being, the relationships that were built and their status as being out of the country and going back to the country, their original country. Mm-hmm. We talked about the powerful women around the Moses story.
Yes.
And which one am I missing?
Laws and codes,
yeah. The laws that basically tell us welcoming the immigrant and the foreigner is not an option and it's not an act of hospitality, of generosity. It is a requirement.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much. That was a perfect, concise summary. Yes, Dan.
The most dramatic statement for me was that Moses was an illegal immigrant.
Yes. Yeah. So that... and that, the idea for that particular session, I think I mentioned to all of you, came to me when I was at a vigil outside of the West County Detention Center in Richmond, California. They're no longer going to be holding immigrants in detention there anymore, but that's another story. I think at the end of September, all of them are going to be shipped off to other parts of the country. But we used to do these monthly interfaith vigils outside of the detention center, and at one, there was a time when, it's still happening, but a huge surge of what we call unaccompanied alien children. That's the term that the government gives to kids who are crossing the border alone or without a guardian, a parent or a guardian. And I was at one of these vigils, and I think it was kind of right after somebody in the federal government had made some statement about, it's these parents' fault. Like, they're putting their kids in harm's way and encouraging them to break the law, so we should really be getting on these parents. And I go to this vigil, and there's a woman there with a sign that has a picture of the basket and the reeds.
Yes.
And it makes me cry. It says, Moses' mother sent him to safety too. And I went, oh my God, Moses was an unaccompanied alien child. Whoa. So we did, that was the course that we did on Tuesday. So anyway, that's what we've been doing. It's been super full because all of you have amazing things to say, and I have learned so much this week. You have no idea. So today, in our final day, the theme I had in my mind was about bold hospitality and faith. And I had planned to look at lots of texts and the prophets and the Psalms. But I have learned over the past week that I have way too much material, and we never finish. So I really want us to be able to take some time today to think about what it is that we're taking with us home, either as we leave here or as we finish this week, whatever the next journey. For some of us, this is our home for long-term staff who are here. But so what is it that you maybe take back to your community, even your community here? So our contemporary text is going to be a video, and we're going to start with a video. So we will watch a short clip called Las Patronas. It's a clip of a video of a film that I encourage everybody to see. It's called Las Patronas, and it is about a group of women in a small town in Mexico that happens to be next to the train tracks. And I think we talked about this briefly on the first day. There's the freight train that goes north from Mexico is a way that many people, especially unaccompanied alien children from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, this is a way for them to get north. So they will get to Mexico somehow, and then in Mexico they will wait by the train tracks, and when the train comes by they will jump onto the train and hold on as long as they can and make the journey up through the country of Mexico until they get to the border. And so, as you can imagine, this is very dangerous to be riding trains like this. Many people get very injured or killed. And you're also very hungry and thirsty because you're on a train holding on, and then when you can't do it anymore, you let go, and then you wait till the next train comes. So there's a group of women in this small town in Mexico who have felt compelled by their faith to care for the migrants coming from Central America on the train and passing through their town. And so you'll see kind of what they do and how they've felt moved to act and respond. They make food. They make huge amounts of food, and they put it in plastic grocery bags, and they get water bottles, plastic water bottles, and they make the bags so that they can kind of throw them up onto the train. And every single day, they wait by the train tracks at the right time, and they throw the food up to these people. And if you're lucky, you can catch your lunch and maybe some water and not fall off. And then, of course, there are people who fall off and people who get hurt, and these women minister to them. And it's because of their faith and their deep compassion that they do this. And this is not without risks for these women either, because you'll remember that these folks who are coming through are also illegal immigrants in Mexico. So they're coming from El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras. And so in a different way, of course, in a different context, these women are not unlike churches here who are providing sanctuary. They're opening themselves up to different sorts of legal action. If they have a migrant who has, say, lost their leg on the train track or something, staying in their house, like, they're harboring an illegal alien, right? So it's risky, and it's their practice of faith. So we're going to take a look at that for our first text, and I really hope the video works. And I encourage everyone to see this movie. I got to see it when one of the women from this town who's in the film was there and gave a little talk afterwards, and it was wow. Yes. Okay. Turn off my mic here.
Good afternoon. My name is Alistair Babstock, and I am reporting for CGTN America here from Veracruz State. And today you find us with Las Patronas. Now, you may have heard of these ladies before, and we're here in the place where they work. Now, Las Patronas are a group of women who've been, for more than 20 years, have been standing beside the beast, which is La Bestia, a train which Central American migrants ride on the top of, very perilous, risking their own lives provide the Central American migrants riding the train with food and water, essential provisions for what is a very dangerous journey from the Mexico southern border with Guatemala all the way up to the US border with Texas. And we're going to talk here with Bernarda Romero. She is one of the founding members of Las Patronas, who for more than 20 years have been preparing food and water and provisions every day. And as Bernarda, I'm going to ask, what is the philosophy behind behind what they do? ¿Cuál es la filosofía de su trabajo?
Bueno, aquí nosotros tenemos un rol de comida todos los días. Cada día le va tocando a una compañera.
So every day they're preparing food.
Entonces aquí se están haciendo 8, 10 o 12 kilos de arroz.
Up to 12 kilos of rice a day.
Y unos 10 o 15 kilos de frijol se hacen a veces. Porque están subiendo pues 80, 100, 40, 150, 200.
So they're up to 15 kilos of beans every day, because they have seen at the moment, daily, on a daily basis, up to 200 migrants on top of these trains riding past at very high speeds. ¿Y por qué empezaron esto? Why did they start this work?
¿Por qué empezamos? Ay, pues es una historia muy grande.
It's a long story.
Pues nosotros creemos en Dios.
They believe in God.
En aquel tiempo subían pocas personas. Fue un día como 7:30 de la mañana.
One day, 7:00 in the morning.
De un 4 de febrero del año de 1995.
In 1995.
Cuando yo y mi hermana fuimos a comprar una caja de leche y una bolsa de pan.
And she and her sister went to buy bread and milk.
Entonces venía el tren, ya no nos dio tiempo a atravesar del otro lado. Entonces pasó a pie de nosotros, iba lento. Entonces los primeros vagones iban con unos 5 o 6 personas y nos dijeron que tenían hambre. Nosotros pues dejamos pasar a esas personas hasta ya por mitad de medio tren, como era doble, venían como otras 8 personas. Y me vuelven a repetir que tenían hambre. No les dimos las cosas hasta el último, ya hasta el último del tren, el último vagón. Venían como 10 personas y esas fueron las que nos dijeron, madre, tenemos hambre. Y fue como entregamos la bolsa de pan y la caja de leche, yo y mi hermano. También dio su bolsa de pan y su caja de leche.
So they were walking along, and this house where they live is right next to the train tracks where this train passes. And this first train came along, there were 4 or 5 people on the front wagon who said to them, please, we are hungry, please pass us these provisions, and they didn't. Another wagon passed, more people on it, asking for provisions, nothing still. But the last wagon, they said, mother, we are hungry, please give us these things. And they handed over the bread and milk, and that was that. They came back to the house, and they said, this is great work, we are going to continue helping these people. Doña Bernarda, muchísimas gracias. Vamos a... Aquí. So, muchas gracias. So there you have it. This is one of the original patronas. And we're going to go over here now. This place is also, in the 20 years that they have been running this place, has also become a refuge for Central American migrants. A lot of all these guys you see here, todos son de Honduras, ¿verdad? Todos son de Honduras. Everyone here is from Honduras at the moment, which is one of the most, one of the worst affected countries at the
most
moment
in the
Central
right
America from the violence. A lot of people are fleeing. And we're going to come now and talk to Frank, who's another Central American migrant, himself from Honduras. And he's been staying here for a while because he's had a recent hernia operation. So we're going to talk to Frank about why he chose to leave Honduras and make this journey towards the United States. ¿Por qué elegiste salir de Honduras y empezar ese viaje tan peligroso?
Como todos ven, verdad que Honduras ahorita está un poco difícil, verdad, lo que es la política, la delincuencia y falta de empleo.
He says in Honduras at the moment it's very difficult, the political situation, the violent situation, and there's no work.
Y como podemos ver, verdad, la mayoría de todos los migrantes que pasamos acá, casi el 85% son hondureños, pero es por lo mismo de que cuesta conseguir un empleo, mucha delincuencia, tantos problemas que pasan en el país, ya es cosa que todo el mundo lo sabe.
Saying 85% of all the Central American migrants at the moment currently hail from Honduras. And hasta ahora, I'm going to ask him how his journey so far has been across Mexico. ¿Cómo ha sido el viaje cruzando México hasta ahora?
Pues la verdad, yo no he sufrido como otros compañeros, pero hay unos que sí sufren bastante porque muchas veces te caen del tren, muchas veces lo asaltan, muchas veces lo encuentran y tantas cosas que pasan en el camino, ¿verdad? Yo he visto cómo podemos ver los compañeros que pasan en los videos y que hay veces que da hasta lástima, ¿verdad? Porque se sabe que todos venimos del mismo país. Pero yo la verdad, yo no he sufrido, pero sí, hay personas que sufren bastante. Pero no traen dinero y vienen a lo que toca, como dicen.
Está fuerte. Bueno, muchas gracias, Frankie. Mucha suerte. Good luck. Mucha suerte. So, we're going to take you outside now, away from the kitchen. To here. The map of the train across Mexico. So, these guys are all coming from Honduras, down here. This is Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. These are the three countries which are the big factors in migration. They generally cross into Tapachula, come up to here, and we are currently here in the middle of Veracruz State, where Las Patronas are. This here is Mexico City, right here. There you are, so we're here, and from here, they have to go up, and they generally come up here, which is Tamaulipas State, here. That's where they generally cross, but it's a very dangerous journey. And just as Frank was saying, that not only is the journey perilous in actually riding the train, because this train is, it's a huge freight train that comes past. You'll see in the video now that we're going to show you. But it's a huge freight train, and it's very difficult. It's easy to fall off, it's easy to slip off, and these migrants have to be riding this thing for 48 to 72 hours just to cross even a quarter of Mexico. So it's a really dangerous journey, very easy to fall asleep, lose concentration, fall off. A lot of people, a lot of migrants have lost limbs and all this sort of stuff. And not only that, but also there's a vast amount of organized crime here in Mexico, which lives off exploiting these migrants by robbing their money, kidnapping them, and also turning them into gangsters themselves. But, as you can see, here we are at the train tracks. Just down here. At the train tracks, right here. So it's here that the Patronas will stand. This train will come past at very high speed, and they'll stand here and lob these bags of food and bottles of water up to these migrants. And as you'll see in the video that we're going to show you, it's exactly what happens here. So this is the Patronas. And currently, because of the political situation in the United States with the immigration becoming a hot political topic, the Patronas are hoping more than ever that their philosophy of helping these migrants, of love and understanding and compassion for these people, will also travel north with the migrants who are with them. I've been Alistair Bavistock for CGTN America. Good afternoon.
Okay, so I misspoke earlier. That is not a clip from the movie that I was recommending. That's just a news clip that's about them. Anyway, you should all see the movie. It's fantastic.
Is it subtitled and in Spanish, or is it in...
It's in Spanish, and it's all subtitled in English. Yeah. And some of it, I guess, I'm trying to remember. Some of it might be in English, but it's definitely, like, I saw it in San Francisco with an audience that definitely didn't all speak Spanish. So, okay. So yeah, just look for Las Patronas movie. It came out a couple of years ago. So he asks, why do you do this? And she says, we believe in God. Yeah. So they do that all day, every day. That's a lot of food to make. That's like literally their life's work now.
What?
how do they, what is their funding source to purchase the food that they're...
People in the community donate in that tiny town.
So there's not an NGO or something?
No. I think now people have been finding out about them, especially since the documentary was made a couple years ago, and people have been, like, sending money and learning about it. And but it's not... And I think sometimes people go down and help. And I'm sure that... I'm trying to remember if at the end of the documentary there's information about how to donate, but it's definitely not a formal NGO. I mean, maybe it has become in the last couple of years with, I mean, things are just getting worse and worse, so more and more people are coming. It could be more formalized now, but yeah. I want us to explore today why we do what we do and what it is that we maybe feel called to do in this particular moment and in our own communities. So that was our contemporary text. And I'm going to invite you now to turn to Isaiah 58 in your Bibles, if you have that with you. And there are more up there. There's a couple up there. I'm sorry, did I say Isaiah 58? Yeah. Oh, thank you, John. Three volunteers to read aloud in a loud voice.
What was the chapter again?
Isaiah 58. Okay, Lola is one. Okay, Neil and Anne. Okay, Lola, can you read verses 1-5, please? And then Neil, can you read verses 6-12, and then Anne, if you can read 30, Neil, can you read verses 6-9, and Anne, verses 10-12, and we will hold there.
1-12.
Yes, please.
Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do they fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your feast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with the wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?
Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your home? When you see them naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil.
If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire with good things and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in.
So this is the sacred text we have for this morning. Well, they're both sacred texts. This is the ancient sacred text, and that was the contemporary sacred text that we watched. So I invite you to get into groups now of three or four, like we've been doing. And I'll ask you to discuss with one another, share with one another connections that you saw between the scripture passage that we just heard and the movie or the video clip that we just watched. So the first question is, what connections, if any, did you see between the two texts? And then, if you like, to also explore how are you feeling called today based on those two texts? So you will have about 15 minutes. I want to give you actually some like really good time to get into some mutually vulnerable conversations together. So get into your groups and talk. All right. Because I feel left out and I want to know what you all talked about. Even though we don't really have time, I have to know what you talked about in your group. So if one person from each group could share like a very distilled version of some of the, or just one of kind of the most impactful thing that came up in your group, I would really appreciate it. Who wants to start? No? Yes, Kathy.
Well, I think the last comment John made was that this, whether we like it or not, is now a political issue. Mm-hmm. And that becoming politically active and confronting people about the ties that politics and people in power now are having on this may be a really important way. And then also just the idea of doing what we can do in the place that we are.
Yes. So. Awesome. Thank you. Next group.
I'm inspired that the people on our new friend's little island up toward Canada have figured out how to know if there are ICE officials on the ferry.
Oh, awesome.
And slow down those people on the roads until they have time to get their friends into safe places, in order that they not be found. I was like, wow, really? Oh, shoot.
That's amazing.
We've been smuggling for a long time.
We have big combines that can just break down at a crucial intersection, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, shoot.
Flock of sheep just happens to be in the way.
See, and like that is, well, that's faithful work. Okay. Who's next? Yeah.
I was in the same group as Kathy, but one of the things we talked about, too, was that the people who were in the documentary were not coming from places of privilege themselves.
Right.
They're, you know, in the midst of their own poverty.
Sure.
We're being generous.
Absolutely. And
sometimes we need to recognize our own impoverishment, regardless of our economic status.
Yes. Thank you. Who else? Yeah, Barbara.
One of the things that the first part of the scriptures talks about, kind of, you're gonna be the do gooder, you're gonna fast, but your attitude and your actions don't back up what you say you're doing. And I wonder, and not in a, as I said, not in a checklist that St. Peter's keeping tabs on us, but we are to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we face God or come to God and talk about our own, in my own case, my relatively petty problems, and not be, you know, how can I possibly do that when I see what's happening and I don't take action? Whatever way I have to change it. We are accountable. This is not an option.
Yeah, and we talked about, was it, when did we do the law codes? Wednesday, I guess. Yeah, it's a command. It's a command to welcome the stranger. And I view that the Isaiah text that we read today not not putting down piety or religious piety at all, but saying if your piety isn't connected to justice, then what's the deal, people? That's kind of how I read it. And not to compare, like, you know, my pain to somebody else's pain, but, you know, to say this is what we're about. If we're worshiping God, the God that we serve is one who calls us to let the oppressed go free, that's part of our worship. Yeah.
I always think it's important to realize that this Isaiah 58 text is one of the Ash Wednesday texts, and that this marks this kind of behavior as an act of repentance, that this is what true repentance or fasting, as the text itself says, consists of, is this kind of action.
Yep. Not, you know, wearing sackcloth and ashes, but feeding people. Yeah. Yes.
Just watched a documentary that highlighted that the law and order candidates are those who legislate against criminality and increase law enforcement and incarceration and
sure.
those sorts of things. Tough on crime is a yep. law and order political phrase. Our legal code here, our law and order is of a different shape than that entirely. And the contrast is poignant to me today. Law and order,
according to
Isaiah and according to Leviticus, is different than that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, one more comment. Or not. Okay. So we have like 1 minute, and I have these blue pieces of paper, and I'm going to hand them out so you can pass them around. And when you get your paper, I'd like you to fold it in half, whichever way makes sense to you. And we should have enough, I hope. I tried to make extra. And this is just something for you to take with you. On one side of the paper, like on one square, I'd like you to think of a text. So we had different kinds of texts this week. We had texts from the Bible, from the Hebrew Bible, from the New Testament. And then we had other texts. We had like a diary entry from Miriam, who lives in Kenya. We had stories, and we had films. We had a newspaper article. So one text that you feel like can be kind of an anchor for you as you think about what it is that you feel called to do, what we've to do or be, based on our explorations today or this week. So a text. If you don't remember all the texts that we did, that's okay. The ones that you remember are probably the most important anchoring ones for you. So jot that down just for your own memory. And if you don't remember which verse it was, that's fine. Write Isaiah or whatever. That's for you. And then on the other side, one thing that you feel inspired or called to do or be or say as you go out from this place, whether that be back to a community somewhere else, whether that be back to the community of working in the kitchen here, or whatever that is. So take some time to do that.